Well, let's start with prayer. Dear Father God, we're here this morning, Lord, and we thank you so much for the opportunity to come before you. We love you and worship you, and we want to serve you, but to do that and to do it the way you would like, we need direction from you. So I just ask that you would minister to us and speak to us, send your Holy Spirit and just touch every one of us. Let us walk away with a new understanding. And we just love you and just appreciate you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll kind of go back to basics today. And pretty simple message. What is the difference between a believer and a non-believer? If you turn on the news or you turn on Christian TV or Christian radio, or it doesn't really matter where you go, but you get all kinds of different opinions on what a Christian really is. So I just thought I'd kind of give you my opinion on what a Christian is. And my opinion is based on the Word of God, so I believe that we can actually live by that opinion. What is the true difference? Have you really looked at us versus a non-believer, somebody that doesn't believe in Jesus? There's really not a whole lot of difference if you think about it. And if you go to Romans, you know, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So it says that every one of us is a sinner, and we all fall short of the glory of God. Now, you're probably going, "Yeah, but, you know, I said a sinner's prayer, and I'm a Christian, and that doesn't apply to me. I mean, I'm already past that stage." Well, I want to point out what Paul said about himself, and that's out of Romans 7, 18 and 19. It says, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Wow, here's a guy that wrote a big part of the New Testament, and he's saying that he's struggling with doing good. Now, if he's having those kind of problems, I would think I probably fall into that category also. And I don't know where you guys are at in your walk with Jesus, but I know there's things in my life that I wish I would do different, and there's things that, you know, we repeatedly do different and we wish we didn't do, and the habitual sin, you might call it. And it doesn't have to be anything big. I mean, it can be, but it doesn't have to be. But we all struggle with doing stuff wrong. I mean, it could be as simple as speeding. Speeding is actually a sin because we're supposed to follow the laws of the land. Well, I was probably speeding on the way here. I mean, I'll just be honest about it. It applies to a lot of things. So, yes, we do sin. Well, where do I go with that then? I mean, if I'm going to sin anyway, why should I bother being a child of God? Well, let me read another scripture. And it's out of Romans also. It says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." So what does that mean? Well, that means exactly what it says. If you're a Christian, there is now no condemnation. Another way of saying it, you are forgiven. Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins. That doesn't mean you should go out and not really care about what you do and just, I'm forgiven anyway. I can just do whatever I want. I don't think it works that way. And the Holy Spirit would try to call you back in a really quick hurry. But you are forgiven. And if you mess up, you're forgiven for it. But there's another scripture I want to read to go with this. And it's also out of Romans. It says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So what's the difference between a believer and a non-believer? Very simple. The Holy Spirit lives inside a Christian. If you're not a Christian, the Holy Spirit does not. If the Holy Spirit does not live in you, you're not a child of God. That's basically what this is saying. But if it does, then you are. And you're again like, well, but I said a sinner's prayer, so ain't I okay? If you make a decision to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you receive him in your heart, you are a Christian. There is no doubt about it. And to prove that, I'm going to have to read my favorite scripture that you guys have probably heard me read 100 times. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't say you might be or could be. It says you will be. And it goes on, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So in other words, you don't just make that decision and then it's all okay. It's in your heart that you believe, and it's with your mouth you profess. In other words, it's hard to be a closet Christian. People ought to know who you are, and they should be able to see it. So just to drive the point home just a little bit further, verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that applies to everybody, no matter how good you are, how good you were, how good you want to be. If you truly do this, you are a child of God. So sometimes you look at Christians and you look at non-Christians and they're almost identical. You don't really see a difference. There's some of them that are so far out, you really start wondering whether they really are or not. You're like, man, I don't know. And you know, you get people, people say, you know, don't judge, that you shouldn't judge anybody. Well, you got to look at people and see who they are. If you really look at what the Bible says about judging, it says, don't judge lest ye be judged. In other words, if you point at somebody, you got to remember there's some of them pointing back at you. But you do have to look at people to decide whether you know they are believers or not. Because otherwise, like myself, how would I know how to minister to somebody if I don't do that? So what do we do when there's that difference? You just can't see that difference between a believer and a non-believer. Well, I'm going to read another scripture. And it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Right there, I think we just figured out what the difference is supposed to be. If we're believers in Jesus, and if we truly made the decision to follow Christ, the Holy Spirit came and lives inside of us. Well, the Holy Spirit will urge us to want to change. It will make you want to change. Now, you can say no to that and keep blocking it out, and eventually the Holy Spirit goes away. But it doesn't just happen overnight. But what the Bible says we should be doing is we should be renewing our mind. If we renew our mind, and the way we do this is by studying the Bible, by talking to other Christians, by doing this, you know, having church on Sunday morning. It doesn't have to be on Sunday. It could be any morning. But to have church, that's how we renew our mind. And you know, when we do this, all of a sudden you'll start seeing a big difference between a non-believer and a believer. Because all of a sudden, you start seeing what God really wants from you and how he wants you to live. And the more you study it, the more you want to do it. And the thing you got to be careful about is if you don't do that as a Christian, and I've used this story before, you know, if you look at a little boat that's tied to a dock, you know, it just kind of sits there. Well, if you untie it, even so it's still sitting there, it just kind of starts drifting, and the next thing you know, it's way out there in the middle of the pond. And what the whole deal is, you know, that's how your Christianity works. If you're tied to God and you're plugged in with Him, you know, everything's going great. As soon as you start not really paying attention to Him, you start drifting, and the next thing you know, you're out there in the middle of nowhere going, wow, how did I get here? I can't believe that I'm doing this. So we got to concentrate on renewing our mind. And the whole point of this message today is when you see Christians that are not living like they ought to be living, and the Bible says that in love we should go to one another and keep each other straight. In other words, if you see me just totally messing up and doing stuff that I ought to just, this ain't good, man. You ought to come to me and say, hey, Heinz, you sure you ought to be doing that? We need to keep each other accountable. And if we do that and we plug in to renew our mind, there will be such a huge difference between us and somebody that does not believe in Jesus that they're going to wonder what's up. And that's the whole deal. I mean, that's what we ought to be doing. Because if they wonder what's up, they may decide that they want what we have. And then we can share Jesus with them, and they can get to the same place where we're at. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that Jesus came and paid the price for our sin, to where there is now no condemnation for those of us that believe in Christ. But that does not give us a license to sin and just live like the world. It just tells us that we don't have to constantly worry that we might be messing up and getting in trouble. We thank you so much for that. Father, I ask that you touch every one of our hearts, that when we walk away from here, we will want to be different. We will want to be closer to you. No matter how close we are to you, there's always the next step. It's like going up a ladder. You know, we need to get to that next rung. And I ask that you would just put that desire in everybody's heart. You know, most of the people standing here already know Jesus as their Savior. But the ones that don't, I ask that you would just knock on their heart, that they would have the desire to follow Him. It'll never be the same after that for them. It'll be the best decision they've ever made. We just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for this message. We thank you for the beautiful day. And just ask that you'd be with us, watch over us, and protect us throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.